The Tie by Desert Forest. It was 9 in the morning, and he was wearing the red tie when Draco walked into the office. Entirely too early, Draco thought, for Harry to be leaning against his desk, mussing his own hair with one hip cocked, and looking like that, in his stupid, unironed shirt and those stupid gray trousers that hugged his arse just right, and his stupid, perfectly tousled hair and that stupid fucking tie. Draco smoothed his own jacket, tailored, bespoke, with one hand. It was unprofessional and unbefitting the British Auror office, he reminded himself, the way his partner showed up to work underdressed, in shirt sleeves and braces, and biceps, with no jacket, or those horrible shoes he called dress sneakers. The ministry's initiative requiring muggle clothing, a meaningless gesture in the interest of perceived inclusivity, was irritating enough, but at least Draco had taken it upon himself to research proper muggle formal fashions. In fact, Draco secretly thought he looked rather good in his suit, a well-cut, deep navy thing he wore with a crisp white shirt and a silver tie he'd matched to his eyes. He blinked, sighed inwardly, took a massive sip of coffee and proceeded to his own desk without a word. "So," Harry said, sounding the tiniest bit put out as he settled into his own chair. "What's on the agenda today?"
"The Graves case," Draco said, cutting off his own internal, thoroughly uncouth answer to that question, and doing all he could to focus on the thick manila folder resting on his desk. "I've got to evaluate the confiscated artifacts for any higher-level curses that might be lingering. How about you get to work compiling a list of possible motives?"
"Sure," Harry said, resting his chin on his hand and tilting his head, biting a lip. Bastard. "Or we could both go through the evidence locker. Two wands are faster than one." Draco swore he had outright batted his eyelashes after this last declaration.
"No,"
Draco snapped and stood, gathering the files into his arms. "The initial report is due at 6 today. Get going. Brat," he punctuated in his head. And he stormed out of the office, huffing his way to the evidence locker. A few hours of painstaking curse diagnostics on ugly old tea sets ought to lower the temperature a bit. "Hey," Harry said at noon, leaning on the doorway of the evidence locker, a hand on his hip. "Making progress?"
"Some," Draco muttered. The temperature had remained decidedly unlowered.
He'd been plagued by deeply inconvenient mental images of Harry's arse in those trousers, the lines of his neck emerging from his collar, Jesus, for most of the morning, dulling his precision, muddling his thoughts.
"I mean, I could help you," Harry said, the tie practically glowing red like some sort of fucking sex beacon as he advanced into the room.
His eyes roved up and down Draco's body as he spoke.
"Relieve some stress? Ease the tension?"
"Down, boy,"
Draco growled, fixing Harry with the steeliest gaze he could manage before he got any closer.
"The case gets finished today. Am I clear? Before anything?"
The words caught in his throat as he took Harry in, his full lips, the lines of his hands, his thighs in those trousers.
"Anything else? Do you understand?"
Harry pouted, but nodded slowly.
"Yes," he said. "Sir,"
and retreated from the room. Draco put his head in his hands. Another 4-5 hours of this might well kill him. Finally, impossibly, it chimed 5 o'clock. Draco sent his report off to Robard's office with a flick of his wand and stalked back down the hallway to his and Harry's office. He found Harry there, feet kicked up on the desk, idly plucking at a ball of rubber bands and blowing gum bubbles. Draco kicked the door shut, locked it.
"Do you have any idea," he said, his voice low, "what you've been doing to me all day?"
Harry smirked. "A bit, yeah." He took a few more steps towards Harry's desk.
"And are you sorry?" he asked. "For wearing the tie?"
He leaned over the desk now, looming over Harry.
I used to tie your hands to our bed frame to work.
Well, Harry smirked, not when this is the result, and popped a gum bubble in Draco's face. Draco stalked around the desk, and Harry turned to face him, letting his feet fall back on the floor. He towered over Harry in his chair now.
You little brat, he breathed, aloud this time, and pressed his fingers to Harry's lips.
Harry opened for him immediately. All his talk had been just that. And sucked, pulling Draco's middle and index fingers into the warm wetness, hollowing his cheeks around them. He let Harry suckle for a moment, watching his eyes flutter shut. He loved this, Draco knew, loved anything in his mouth. Fingers, a toy, a gag, a cock.
Swallow,
Draco murmured into Harry's ear, and he felt Harry's tongue and throat work around his hand as the chewing gum disappeared.
Now, here's what's going to happen, Draco said, and pulled his fingers from Harry's mouth, eliciting a whine,
a pout, a string of spit stretching off of Harry's slickened lip.
I'm going to take that fucking tie off you and put it to better use. You're going to get out of that chair and onto your knees, and then you're going to suck me off the way you just sucked my fingers.
He cupped Harry's jaw, tilting his head up.
And if you're a very good boy, Harry shuddered, you just might get to come once we get home.
Harry let out a bona fide moan at this statement, staring up at Draco with wide pupils and wet, open lips.
Please, he whispered.
He leaned down then, bracketing Harry into his chair with one arm and smoothing his other hand down the front of Harry's shirt. Draco heard Harry's breath catch in his chest as his palm skimmed a nipple, then traveled lower, lower still, until it crossed the border of Harry's belt and settled on the awaiting hardness.
How long have you been like this?
He asked, teasing at Harry's zipper, tracing the outline of his cock with light fingers.
All day, Harry panted, confessional now, desperate, thinking about you. Fuck, Draco, wondering if you'd do this. And I'm doing it, Draco said, pressing hard between Harry's legs, pulling from him a strangled, needy sound before withdrawing his hand and standing.
Up, he said. Harry's wanton desperation, the way he melted under Draco, as soon as he was shown the slightest hint of authority, had brought everything back into sharp, clean focus. Harry just needed a firm hand, a bit of instruction. Draco secretly loved it, the way Harry goaded it out of him, teasing and baiting until Draco snapped into his own role. Harry, now standing before him, chin tilted up just a degree to meet Draco's gaze. Draco withdrew his wand again and tapped the knot of Harry's tie.
Sloppy, he thought faintly. He'd have to instruct Harry again on how to achieve a full Windsor.
The tie promptly unraveled itself from Harry's neck and snaked backwards, pulling Harry's arms to cross behind him. Draco made a slow lap around Harry, standing behind him to place his hands on Harry's shoulders, running his hands down the smooth expanse of his upper arms, tugging on the tie binding his wrists, one atop the other. Harry was suddenly so pliant, still and warm under Draco's hands, wanting, waiting. Draco tipped Harry's face up towards him again, settling his thumb and forefinger into the soft dimples at his cheeks. He pulled Harry forward to bend at the waist, leaning in to Draco's touch.
You'll be good for me, won't you, Potter?
He asked, and Harry shivered, a full body shiver, at the use of his surname. He always reacted this way when Draco pulled that particular artifact of their schoolboyhood from his back pocket. He would never admit this, not to Draco's face, but Draco suspected Harry secretly liked the taunting, the hints of antagonism.
Yes, Harry said as a whisper, and please, and I need it, please, Draco, I'll be so good.
Draco took a moment then to kiss Harry, long and sweet, to slip his tongue into Harry's mouth, nipping at his bottom lip, melting into him for just a moment. Harry whined softly in the back of his throat when Draco pulled away.
On your knees now, then,
Draco said, low, and eased Harry there, threading his fingers into the curls at the crown of his head and pressing gently downward.
Listen to me carefully,
Draco said, as Harry leaned forward, nuzzling at Draco's hardness in front of his face.
You greedy thing, he purred. Undo my belt, pet.
Harry's eyes widened, brows knitting as he looked up at Draco, who held his gaze, smirking.
You can do it, Draco said, and stroked a hand across his cheek. Come on, love.
Harry could do it, it turned out, even if it involved a fair bit of metal clacking against teeth and spit smearing against the braided Italian leather, the front of Draco's expensive suit trousers. Once the belt was hanging open, Draco decided to take mercy on Harry, red-faced and messy-chinned as he was, and undo the button and zip himself. His cock, leaking now from the incidental stimulation of Harry's fumblings, swung out towards Harry, making him wrinkle his nose and giggle quietly as it bopped him in the face.
Open up now. There's a boy, Draco said, and held himself out to Harry, an offering.
Harry lapped at the head, instantly eager, swirling his tongue across Draco's foreskin, wiggling it across his slit. His mouth was hot and silky, exactly as it had been around Draco's fingers, and he couldn't help but let out a soft, shuddering sigh at the feel of a warm mouth around him. But Draco wasn't quite in the mood for a leisurely, lapping blowjob this afternoon. Harry had still been a fucking brat.
Off, he commanded, pressing a palm to Harry's forehead and forcing himself to push Harry away.
Harry chased the cock, even as he was removed from it, sticking his tongue out to apply one last kitten lick to the tip before it left his reach. He watched as Draco slid his belt out from its loops, gripped each end in his fist, and settled it around Harry's face, nestling it between his jaw and holding the loop tight at the crown of Harry's head.
"Will you be a good boy now and let me fuck your pretty mouth?"
he purred, and the look painted across Harry's face at these words was one he wanted preserved in oil and canvas. Those wide-blown pupils, the slack, wet mouth, the rosy, debauched blush that had spread across Harry's cheeks and down his neck.
"Please,"
Harry whispered, and opened wide. Draco fed himself into Harry's mouth, slow and hot. Harry responded instantly, cupping his tongue around the head, pressing into the vein that ran down the shaft. He hollowed his cheeks, opened his throat, making up for the inability to bob his head by sucking all the more enthusiastically. Draco slid in and out for a bit, slow and steady, and Harry's eyes fluttered shut, savoring it. Harry began to moan softly after a while, with each brush of Draco's cock against the back of his throat.
"Look at you, so desperate for it," Draco said, pausing and tightening his grip on the belt. "You want more?"
Harry let out a longer, louder moan at this. As far under as he was, Draco hadn't expected words, and Draco stroked his hair, light and gentle, before beginning to fuck Harry's mouth in earnest. Harry looked gorgeous, knees bent, hands tied, lips stretched, and face held tight and reddened and wet all over with sweat and spit and tears and precum, and Draco took a moment just to stare, to absorb Harry like this before. Draco came with a gasp, spilling into Harry's throat. He withdrew himself slowly, catching his breath, and Harry slumped forward, boneless, as Draco released the belt holding his head up. Draco caught him under the arms and knelt down to let him rest his head on Draco's shoulder.
"There now," Draco said, as he reached back to release the tie around Harry's wrists. "There now. You were so good, Harry. So good for me."
"Love you," Harry murmured into Draco's neck, and Draco gathered him up, pulling him gently upright with a hand around his waist, and apparated them home.